Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Just because you haven't seen something, does that mean it isn't there? Well, 60 years ago, nearly 60,000 children were infected with the polio virus, thousands were paralyzed, and more than 3,000 died. Well, the U.S. has recorded its last case of wild, naturally occurring polio, well, back in 1979, among isolated Amish communities in several states. In fact, no cases of wild polio have been acquired in the Western Hemisphere since 1991. So, does this mean we've won the war on polio because it isn't there? No, because according to our next guest, America's public health prevention policy is like a secret agent that often leaves no calling card. Its good works are likely to be ignored by everybody except the statisticians and experts who are paid to keep track of aggregate costs and benefits. And our guest is Professor Franklin Zimmering, a professor of law at the University of California, Berkeley School of Law. Professor Zimmering, thanks for joining us today on Body Language.
My pleasure.
Did I wrap up everything you're going to say in about two paragraphs?
Well, except for the statistics, because polio isn't alone.
But wait, wait a minute. Professor, you're a lawyer, not a statistician, or am I mistaken?
Well, that is right, but unfortunately, lawyers are required to study not only what governments do, but what effects do the efforts of governments have on the people that live in them. And one of the things that I noticed, and let's begin really with traffic safety, is that there are a number of government programs that I've been observing over the last almost half century that have phenomenally important benefits, but which are almost invisible to the naked eye.
Well, actually, these are public health programs. Now, most people think of public health in terms of clean water, sanitation, safe food, and vaccination. But what you suggested in your article was that these policies, in terms of trying to reduce the number of highway injuries and fatalities, is essentially a giant public health process.
Oh, but it's not just your words. That's also American history, because the man who engineered this enormous change in American attitudes at the government level toward traffic was William Haddon. And William Haddon was an MD with training in, you guessed it, public health.
Oh.
In 1955, the rate per 100 million miles driven in the United States of fatal accidents, of dead bodies, was about 6.2.
In fact, you quote the statistic that just under 37,000 people were killed that year.
That's right. And then all of a sudden, if you jump from 1955 to 2010, what happens is that you have twice as many people in the country. They're driving six times as much, and you have fewer people dying. That if you were to have the kind of society we have now, but with its 1955 traffic death rate, there'd be 191,000 people dead every year. Or the other way to put it, the good news part, there are 147,000 people every year who don't die in traffic because of the ways in which we have changed the cars, the roads, the drivers, and the laws in essentially a massive public health enterprise.
You have said, Professor Zimmering, that there's also a paradox of prevention that leads us to undervalue strategies that prevent harm, in other words, harm reduction, from happening. When science improves our ability to treat and cure diseases, for example, the beneficiaries of such progress are easy to identify, but they may be unaware of what has preceded this fact.
Okay, and let's take a wonderful example. For those of there were an awful lot of what are called two-lane highways in the United States of 1955 and 1960 that have been replaced with divided highways. And if you're ever on a two-lane road and trying to pass somebody,
it's scary stuff.
The way in which you do it would look to an objective observer like an almost attempted suicide. And sure enough, the death rates on divided highways are vastly lower. But here's the paradox. The people whose lives are saved because those roads have been built in a new and safer fashion, or because they have airbags, or because they have padded steering wheels, don't know who they are. And to go back to the divided highway example for a moment, divided highways are expensive. And even the people whose lives have been saved, if they don't know that they've benefited in that way, the accident didn't happen. The paradox of prevention is, since they don't know who they are, they may vote against the very same policies that have saved their lives.
You know, I drew the analogy to the, and I hesitate to use the term eradication of polio, the significant reduction of polio in the United States, which is, to extend your driving analogy, has literally saved, what, probably hundreds of thousands of lives. But you're right, the folks don't know who they are. And what is fascinating to me, you say, because public support for effective programs of prevention depends on trust in experts and or government. Aha! The cynical second decade of the 21st century may be a dangerous time for public health and safety. Why is that? Uh-oh, here we go.
Oh, listen, we are having this conversation in a week where the number of air traffic controllers suddenly goes down because of sequestration. The problem is that the only ways in which we can effectively monitor what works and what doesn't work in public health is to have people called statisticians and experts do careful jobs and inform government. But what if people don't trust statisticians, experts, and government?
What if they don't, Professor?
Well, under those circumstances, what's going to happen is that there will be no way to separate the good from the bad public health moves, and there can be no effective political consensus to do things that we all need. One of the examples of a real public health, public safety advantage over the last 50 years is air traffic. It was never tremendously dangerous in the modern jet age to be on airplanes. The rate per million trips was 5.6 in the 5 years after 1960. So one out of every 178,000 trips would be a problem. That rate has been reduced by 95%. The rate now is 0.28 per million instead of 5.6 per million.
And our guest has been Professor Franklin Zimmering, Professor of Law at the University of California, Berkeley School of Law. I will leave you with the last words of his article. Just as the blessings of prevention are almost invisible to the naked eye, the subtle but real dangers of ignorance are easy to ignore until it's too late. Professor Zimmering, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
My pleasure.
You got in the last word.
Oh, well, I...